this is Erin.
This is Jessica.
And this is episode 12 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Yay.
Already.
A dozen.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
We do kind of do this every episode now. Like, wow, 10, wow, 11, wow, 12. Okay, we'll stop doing that now. All right. So you've been knitting like crazy woman. So yes. Tell us all about what you've done.
I'm trying to remember what I should have listened to, like, the beginning of the podcast.
The last one.
The last one. So, I know I finished my mom's stole.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about that last time.
I think I might have been done with my mittens.
The whole pair? I think you were just starting them.
The subvoter ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are done.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. And I love them. And I knitted a pair of Evangeline, which was a magnets pattern, but it's a free Ravelry download mm-hmm. now.
And those are fingerless mitts with a cable on the back.
Yeah, in Malabrigo, in Azul Profundo.
And they're gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous color. And you have a ton left over, right?
Well, I did. I started the Bird in Hand mittens, and that ate it up.
Using the Azul Profundo also.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Oh. So what's the white you're using with that?
Vanaloft.
That's
They're both singles. I thought they would look really good together.
Did you felt the... I'm jumping around. Did you felt the stocking?
Not yet.
Oh,
I'm going to do it this week.
Okay.
I've got a list of stuff to do, and that's on the list.
Oh, look at that. I don't get finished one of the burn hanger.
Yeah, and I have, the cuff of the second one done.
Cool.
But I ran out of the Malabrigo, so I'm coming by the shop today to get more and check out something new that I think we should talk about
later.
Yes,
we should talk about that too, yes.
And that, my friends, is the end of my Christmas knitting.
Yay! Yeah.
So now, and then I cast on a sweater. So I'm doing like a small thing and a big thing.
And the sweater is?
Mariah from Nitty in Elon Incense. It's 50 wool and then some silk and bamboo.
Yeah. And that's coming out really beautifully. That's in a kind of murky green.
Yeah. They call it cypress.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I've been working on that. I got up to the... You like knit from the bottom up and then you join everything.
Oh.
But you knit the bottom in pieces.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That's weird.
I was thinking about like trying to, my brain's not really with it these days.
Just do what the pattern says. Yeah,
so I'm just going to, I was going to convert it to knit like the
all in one piece.
All in one piece and then join it. But whatever. I can't do that right now. So, but it looks good. I have a sleeve done and the back done. And I think I'm going to do the two fronts at once.
Yeah, so if you hustle through that, you might actually, like, have that done before the baby comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, and this Thursday is my last Thursday at the Forever Gallery for a while.
Work for a while before she goes on her maternity leave.
Yeah. And my other job that I do from home, I'm going to start scaling back the hours a little bit. Because it's hard to sleep with a giant thing strapped, like, to your stomach.
Yes. Well, it's harder to sleep once it's out, so...
Yeah, I just can't get comfortable right now.
Relish what little sleep you get now.
Yeah. I was up between 4 and 5:30, and then again from 6:30 to, like, 7:15.
Oh.
So.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I'll take a nap later. It'll be good.
Yeah. All right.
So, what are you working on?
Let's see. So, I have been, I just did a blog post about this yesterday where I've been kind of... Lately, I have been... a little more monogamous in my knitting projects, and which has been very good. But the last like week or so, I've been kind of all over the place because I have my socks, the evening stockings for a young lady, which I did one of and then didn't really get cooking on. And then I started the second one and kind of blasted through the leg and turned the heel, and now they've just been sitting there.
You're so close.
I know, but because what happened though was after we talked the last time, I got all fired up about my hexagon blanket again. Mm. Like I need to get this like mapped out, because what we talked about last time was that I wanted to square off two edges so that I knew where I was going with it, because I just get confused because you can kind of keep adding hexagons in all the different directions. And so what happens, this took me forever. I finally had to like print out actually a quilting template of hexagons to look at them all together and like have Wes sit down with me and go like, okay, if I want to square out this edge, because the thing I've been thinking about, like I've been thinking in quilting terms, but with quilting, you know, you make them and then you lay down a ruler and then you just like whack off the parts you don't want. And you're not going to do that with your knitting. So I had to figure out on one edge, you knit half hexagons, which was kind of a note, you know, which was easy enough to figure out. So I knit the half hexagons, although the first one I put on, I put in the wrong spot again. So I don't know what's going on with that. So I did that. Then on the other side, though, what you need to knit, like, half of a third of a hexagon. I mean, it's confusing. It's, like, only two wedges of the hexagon, but only half the depth. So I had to knit and re-knit that, like, a gazillion times until I figured out the right decrease pattern for it, mm-hmm. so that it didn't, like, come up to a peak in the center. So I finally figured that out. So I've got two sides squared up, and so my temptation is to be like, oh, done! Just square up the other sides and call it done. But I still have a lot of yarn, and it's still a really dinky size. It's like a baby blanket size right now. Although I need to save some yarn to include in the border and some other things. So, but I'm just worried because it's not like you can just say, okay, well, I'll add one more hexagon and now I'll knit the border. Like, with each hexagon you add, you're now committed to a whole other row of hexagons and half hexagons to finish it off, or depending on which edge you're on, or hexagons and these, like, half of a, what, you know, so it's not like I can go, well, I'll just do a few more. It's like, if I decide to keep going in either direction, I'm committing to a full row plus the extra bits, mm-hmm. and I have a fear of, like, running out of yarn, like, when I have, like, two half hexagons left to do, or something really dopey like that. So I'm being a little more cautious. I mean, I can actually, if I took the time, like, weigh the yarn and weigh the blanket and count everything out and figure out exactly how much yarn goes into each hexagon.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, even more work.
I mean, it would take me, like, you know, 5 minutes to actually do that. So I should probably do that so I know at least somewhat, like, do I have enough that I can make it one row wide or one row tall? Anyway. So then I was all obsessed on that, but then I got to a point where now I'm, like, not sure where to go with it, so then, of course, I put it away. And then what else have I been working on? Like, oh, my sock yarn blanket got pulled out. I went to a movie, which I'll talk about later. Worked on that for a little bit, and then, and the baby merino dress has just been sitting there in a bag waiting for me to finish the armholes and the neckline, which would be, take me, like, 20 minutes. I don't know what my holdup is with that. But on Saturday, my younger son, out of nowhere, was like, I need a sweater. I want you to make me a sweater. And I've never made a sweater for my kid. Well, actually, that's not true. I made one sweater for my younger son once, and he, like, barely got it on before he said, like, itchy, 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 itchy. And I had to take it off of him. And because I sort of sensed he was going to do that. So I bought this other yarn a long time ago that's called Merino Mix, and it's by Medill, and it's discontinued. It's 50-50 Merino acrylic, and it's really nice yarn. It's machine washable. It's very squishy.
It's very bright.
It's very drapey. And it is in this bright red because my younger son is, he's quirky. And he will only wear red. All his shirts have to be red. And so the sweater had to be red. So I'm just making him a seamless raglan round neck pullover. And so I cast on the ribbing on Saturday in the afternoon. And we were going to a movie Saturday night. And I wanted to finish the ribbing before we got to the movie. So by Sunday morning, I'd already knit the whole body of the sweater. And I've started the sleeves. Then I'm telling this kid's sweater on 4 stitches to the inch, size 8 needles. I'm like, do this. It's so easy. I can do this. So I've got the sleeves about maybe halfway done now. I'm doing the sleeves 2 at a time. So that kind of now has pulled my focus away from all the other things I was doing. I feel like I'm forgetting something else that I've been working on. Anyway, but yeah, so I've been a little scattered, kind of all over the place. And at work, I'm knitting a hat from the new book Boutique Knits by Laura Irwin. And it's, I forgot what it's called. It's a cloche. It's not the cloche that's on the cover. It's a ribbed cloche done in alpaca yarn that has, like, a big faux cable on it, mm-hmm. Where it's knit sideways. I've been kind of busy with other stuff at work.
Yeah.
And so I knit, like, an inch on it a day, and I need to get to, like, 14 and a half inches before something new happens on it. So that's going to be a while before I'm done with that.
Yeah, so. I forgot. I always forget my shop knitting because I don't really think of it as mine.
Yeah, it's not real knitting to you, is it?
No, it's not. But I'm working on Claudie, which is from Black Pearl. And it's in...
That's an independent designer based out of Wausau, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's there are two versions. There's long sleeve and short sleeve, mm-hmm. and then there's a lace panel and a cable panel. And I'm doing the cable panel one. Mm-hmm. And I think I might finish it.
Kathy was asking about that at work. So is Erin going to finish that before she goes?
I'll bring it home with me and finish it so she doesn't have to try and match my gauge.
Yeah. But it's a little staghorn lace on the cover. On the front. And
I'm knitting it in panda silk DK, which is gorgeous. I think we talked about that before.
It's just got great drape.
And chocolatey brown.
Stitch definition on it is beautiful. It's really crisp cables.
Yeah, I'd be done if we didn't get the errata for the
back. Oh, that's true, yeah. Because the designer discovered some errata, and she sent out the corrections on it, and then Erin got to rip out pretty much like
a whole front
and do it again. Although it was a smaller front the last time, it's larger now, so it wasn't as much knitting. But you are just whipped. I mean, you whipped through those. You made a really good start. Anyway, yeah. So maybe that'll be done sometime soon.
And I forgot to mention that I ripped out my pomatomus.
You did?
Yeah. I just said, you know, I think with me, the thing is like, I need to keep forward momentum because everything I've put aside for any amount of time.
You never pick that
up. I pick it back up and rip it out. So I decide that I've changed my mind.
That's good. I mean, that's probably better than me who, like, keeps those things thinking I'm going to get back to them. But then they're just, like, there kind of nagging at me.
Your frost flowers.
I really want to do that. I need, like, to go away for a weekend. Like, I need to just say to Wes, like, I'm going to the coast, and I'm going to go and, like, just go alone somewhere and just get back into the rhythm of it. Like, get reacquainted with it. It's just one of these patterns, like, you cannot let your attention waver at all.
Yeah, so... I think that's it. My basically two projects, one big one, one small one. Mm-hmm. And mittens are my new socks.
Yes.
Now everyone's obsessed with socks still.
Everyone's really obsessed with mittens now too. Because we can talk about the ones that are in the new twist. And
okay.
Why don't we talk about that?
All right.
Let's talk about that. So there's a ton of new stuff that came out just this week. A new Twist Collective came out. Interweave preview came out
and Notions
came out, and so there's loads to talk about with all of those.
Should we talk about Twist first?
Sure. I feel like everyone has gone.
That's not Twist.
That's Twist.
There's Twist.
You know, this one came out, and I just felt like everyone went crazy, like, oh my gosh, the new Twist, and they were all really excited about it. And I have to say, you know, there's nothing I dislike about it, but there's nothing I feel like I have to knit this very moment. There are those beautiful mittens that are called the post-war mittens,
which I have queued and I will be knitting those.
They're very lovely, and I like Chrissy Gardner's licorice stick socks that are in there.
Yeah.
Lovely twisted stitch pattern on those.
I like the lotus leaf mittens too, but you were saying you didn't like them because they were kind of boxy on top.
I think they look really humongously clunky. I don't know. There's just something strange about...
Don't you think you could block some of that out, though, and make them more round-ish?
Maybe. I think also part of it for me is, like, the color's not... I mean, they just don't jump out at me. They don't sing to me. Like, the color's not colors that I like, so it doesn't jump out to me on that respect. And the pattern is nice, but there's a million other patterns out there right now for mittens that I really like. And, or the same designer, is the designer who did those Let It Snow mittens that were in the fall Vogue. And I'd much rather knit those, for example. I think those are a really beautiful pair of mittens. You know, but at this point, there's such a wealth of patterns. I feel like it's almost a better exercise for me to find ways to exclude patterns than to find ways to, like, go, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Like, if I look at something new and go, no, there's nothing I want to knit there, I'm not disappointed. Because otherwise it feels like... I actually went through my queue and deleted, like, 2 pages of my queue on Ravelry. Now my queue is only 6 pages long, and I've only got, like, 170 things queued.
Yeah, I do that periodically, too. And I'm just like, what the hell was I thinking?
Well, it's not just, Well, the other thing, too, I guess, is that my queue is more searchable than my favorites. So I kind of feel like favoriting something is sort of like throwing it into a black hole where I'm never going to go back and really be able to locate it. Although you can search better now if you tag your favorites.
Yeah, or tag your queue. I went through and did that, and that's easy. Because I was looking for a pair of fingerless gloves and wanted to knit something for my queue, and I just typed in fingerless. And they all popped up, and I was like, those, I'm knitting those.
Or at least you can pull things up even if you haven't had the, I mean, because they didn't add the tagging feature for a while, so, you know, the first, you know, 3 or 4 pages of my queue don't have tags on it, but at least there's a way to search my queue without the tags. I mean, I try to go back in periodically and add tags, but I'm not always that good about it. So what are you liking in the new twist? Because there's nothing, I don't feel like there's anything here like I must knit other than the
mittens. We looked at it at work the other day.
Yeah.
I went back and looked at Mary Jane.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not a big fan of the color because it's like a snow white color. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the first picture is very flattering, but I looked at the ones of the other model, and I think that's really cute.
That is nice. The sleeve is...
The slightly puffy sleeve.
It's just, I can see that on you. I would not wear a style like that.
But I like it. I think I'd like to knit that.
Yeah, I can see you doing that.
It's something drapey. And I like longer sleeves like that.
Yeah. Like, so it's like a half length sleeve. And it's got a tight cuff, and then the sleeve is kind of blousey around the cuff.
It's a lace or tiny cable pattern in stripes.
There's both, I think. There's like lace along the bottom and teeny cables along the bust. And
yeah, it kind of reminds me of some Kim Hargreaves
and
patterns.
Eyelets along the raglans.
Yeah, and a scoop neck.
Yeah. So I don't do scoop usually. So
yeah, but I think it'd be a good like spring and fall. Mm-hmm. Thing to wear.
What yarn do they knit this one out of? Cashmere cotton hemp.
Yeah,
a weird design.
Yeah.
A weird type
weird
of yarn.
Yarn. Yeah, I don't think I'll be knitting it in that. But
oh, and it's seamless knit top down.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's by Zephyr Style.
The Zephyr, yeah. So I think I'm going to maybe take a look at that.
Okay. So, and what about the new Notions?
Let's see.
I know for me, the first time I went through it, I was like, eh, okay. You know, again, like, it's all really nice, but there was nothing I felt like I had to knit. But I went through, I didn't look at all the additional shots.
Yeah.
And having looked at the additional pictures, I do like the Swing Swing by Janine LaCrosse. It's especially for someone who's a little more amply built, it's, I think,
curvaceous.
Very flattering.
Yeah.
Simple, you know, drapey, cabled swing coat. Very nice. That Weasley Girl sweater is also very cute. It's just a really simple kind of hoodie.
And there's some embroidery on it.
Yeah, and I think it's done seamless. And there's sort of a worksheet for it instead of a pattern so that it's written so that it goes from children's size 5 up to a 62-inch chest.
Holy crap.
Yeah, which is nice. And that's one of the nice things is that Jody... who does Notions, who started this whole thing, is a plus-size knitter, and her patterns have always been
a
plus-size
model
in mind.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the Gray Days trapeze coat, and that goes up to 52-inch bust.
And the one by Janine goes up to a 56.
So, yeah.
So it's really nice to have something for, you know, because it's always so ironic that, like, when the new Vogue comes out, it's all this stuff that would look great on you if you weigh 112 pounds. But if you look around a room of a bunch of knitters... Most of them don't weigh 112 pounds, so it's nice to have a range of sizes. Yeah. And I appreciate also that it's difficult if you're really petite. I mean, that's something that we get a lot of complaints about at the shop, too. If you're a really petite knitter, a lot of times the patterns don't go down far enough. Like, maybe the smallest size is, like, a 36.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a 32-inch chest, that's, you know, that's a lot to deal with also. Yeah. So. These are nice that they have a very wide range of sizes on them.
I like the Camelot mitts, just little cabled fingerless mitt. These are cute.
A little heavy to me. And again, though, it's like there are so many patterns out there now for all these cool cabled mitts and all these that I just feel like, does this one stand out to me from the other ones? And right now it's all kind of a blur for me. I kind of like these vertical socks by Phoenix
Bess,
who is not a designer I'm normally that into. And I like this other cabled pair of mittens down here.
Yeah.
I can't remember what those are called. Oh, the Magic Mirror ones.
Those are in my queue.
Those are very cute. I like those. And, like, again, it's like that shape. Like I was saying, I didn't like the shape on the other ones. This one, I think, has a much more appealing shape to them. And I like the way the cable fits within the space. Like, it's, to me, it seems a little more thought out.
Yeah. I like the hanging vine socks.
Cute.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the color.
Yeah, I do like the color on that.
They're nice bright green.
Garden gemalicious in foliage.
Yeah.
So is this the end?
Yeah.
That's the end. Okay, so that's Notions. And then the Interweave preview came out, and when I put it up on my blog, and everyone wrote back like, didn't see anything they liked. Whereas I want to marry the Manchester jacket. Oh, really? I love it.
I thought that was really cute, but I was like, drawn to the climbing vines pullover.
Yeah, I can see that.
Not that color.
But I've been like on the hunt for a really good jacket anyway, and this, I love this Manchester jacket, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it would look okay on someone who's a little larger, whereas a lot of the coat designs, I feel like they're too big. Or that's the other one that went in Twist that everyone was raving about, is that giant red cabled coat with a big cable on the back, and I just look at that and I think, oh dear, no, that would not look right on me. But this, I think it's like, it's tailored, it has that detail at the waist that kind of
gives a little structure, draws your eye there to the nearest part of your waist. Makes it look like you have a waist.
Yeah. But it's, and then it's kind of swingy, but not too ample on the bottom, so that, it, I don't know. I'm hoping that it'll look good. Yeah. I'm hoping that will work for me, and I have 4 yarns to pick from my stash. I haven't decided yet, but I might do it. It'll change the look of it a little bit, but I have this Noro Cash Lane, which is a cashmere wool blend from Noro that's in a shades of brown. And I might do it in that. I think that would look very pretty.
I kind of like the Harvard Square caps, too. I didn't like it when I just looked at that picture, but when I looked at the extra picture...
Yeah. I think the extra pictures are... I think it's really important to look at that, especially, like, with Notions, I have to say, I didn't feel like they picked their best shots to put on some of them, because some of them you really can't see the pattern at all, but if you go to the additional photos, you get a lot of extra views. Yeah. I think the Victoria Yoke pullover is also, I wouldn't knit it for myself, but I think it's a very simple but attractive design.
Yeah, I like that, but there's something about those, like, I don't like having things close up on my neck, so it's cute, but I don't think I would knit it.
Yeah.
I like the look of the woven bands pullover.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what I'm looking at when I look at that.
I don't think the extra pictures were very good as far as detail goes.
I'm very curious to see when the magazine comes out what exactly
is going
it's all
on.
About. Yeah. And then I think the ropes and picots
I thought that was cute.
I know people like that. And the holly mittens
mittens are cute.
The socks that are in here I think are really pretty. Sandalwood socks.
I have to say, with Elaine's blouse, like... It's cute, but what's up with the buttons at the back?
I like the idea of being, like, a more, like, tailored, couture-ish thing. I don't think I want to be the person who knits it, and I mean, it would be a terrible design on me.
Yeah, I don't think that waist would be...
I think on someone who's a little more petite, it would be really charming.
Probably not best for the busty gals.
No. just what we need is ruffles down the front.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are really excited about the dainty pinstripes, which, you know, really simple kind of raglan sweater, but just with a nice little detail.
I kind of like that herringbone hat, but I'm a sucker for herringbone.
Yeah, me too. I realized I went through a period where I favorited or queued like 17 different herringbone projects, like all these different variations of herringbone sweaters and herringbone gloves and herringbone mittens, and I do really like that too.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, but I liked it. I mean, the last few interviews have left me kind of like, meh. But this one, I'm like, I cannot wait for the magazine to show up because I must knit that Manchester jacket. So excited. So, I don't know. Although, I shouldn't even be saying it out loud. I'm sure, like, you know, fast forward like 2 months, I'll be like, I finished it and it looks terrible on me and I hate it. And so, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll like it. I hope I like it.
I like the
bed jacket too. I'm a sucker for a bed jacket. I would maybe unbobble it, but I'm a sucker for that style. I love that kind of comfy, kind of vintagey.
Yeah, I like the winter issues. It seems always have a lot more accessories in it because people are trying to do
holiday knitting.
Although I'm done with that.
One of the complaints I heard about this, where people said, "Oh, there's too many accessories."
Yeah. Well, see, I like that.
I thought it was a nice mix. Personally, of accessories and sweaters, because I mean, you know, how many sweaters are you going to knit out of a single magazine?
Yeah, so I'm going to be adding that climbing vines pullover.
All right.
And I think, I'm not sure what weight yarn it is, but
it's probably like DK or something. What is it? It is. Oh no, it's Aran weight.
Yeah.
Not Aran weight, but Aran weight. Every time I say something to someone in the store about A-R-A-N, like Aaron, and then Aaron, E-R-I-N, like, huh? Looks up at me, and I'm like, it's not you. I'm talking about yarn.
know. Maybe that would be a good Malabrigo worsted. I'd do some stuff to it, but
yeah, that would work well in Malabrigo worsted.
I'll just knit everything in a Zol Profundo from now on.
Yeah. So speaking of Malabrigo, ooh, segue. Okay. All right. Speaking of Malabrigo, yesterday the Malabrigo sock yarn arrived at the shop. Yeah. Yay! And it came like kind of late in the day, and then we had to check it all in, and there's a lot of it, and then we had to call everybody and put it all on hold. But even with all of that, we had people calling the shop because I had put on our Ravelry group that it was due on Monday. So people were calling all day like, is it there yet? Is it there yet? I even had some people call where I had to say like, give me your number and I'll call you when it's ready. So I called them and so long story short, like we didn't get it out on the shelves until probably around 4 o'clock. And by 6 o'clock, we'd already sold 9 skeins of it.
Yeah.
And then we also have a bunch that we've put on hold for other customers because we allowed people to reserve it in advance. Yeah, it's here. It's really pretty.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm coming to the store today. I was going to wait till Thursday, which is my last day. But I'm not going to do that because it might be gone by then.
Yeah, well, I don't think it'll all be gone, but some of the colors might be gone. I think it would be beautiful for that Selbu Modern tam that we're all kind of oohing about. Some of the colors for that would be really lovely with it. Because there's a lot of really deep colors, but there's some nice lighter colors too, so you could put some good combos together with that. And just total side note, since we were talking about this with Amanda, and Rebecca. Everyone's really excited about that Selbu Modern design, but everyone's going like, but I'm not really a tam person. And I'd have to double check the pattern, but I'm pretty certain with that tam, as with almost all well-designed tams, that there is absolutely no difference between a tam and a regular ski style cap, except the blocking. If you find a pattern for a tam that goes like increase like crazy, decrease like crazy, that's kind of not the way they're supposed to be designed. Like, pretty
not like
much
traditional.
Yeah, traditionally it's like you pretty much knit the same thing. You might knit it a little bit.
The decreases just look different.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can do different things with the decreases, and you might decrease a little more swiftly so that you get a flatter top, but it's mostly just the blocking. That a tam, you block on a dinner plate, and that then makes it shallow and flat. If you didn't block it on a dinner plate, you could just put it on your head and it would look like, you know, a traditional beanie. Or, maybe a little deeper. But, So, if you like the Selbu Modern, but you don't like a tam, it doesn't have to be a tam. It really depends on how you block it.
Oh, and I was going to ask you to say that great tip about blocking.
Oh, right.
Using the salad spinner.
Yeah, well,
which I thought was so smart, and I would never have thought to do that. Well, this other person who was saying that in the customer at the store was like, that's a brilliant idea.
Well, what happened was I used to have a top-loading washing machine that had a spin cycle that didn't spray any water, didn't do anything funky, so I could put anything, any knits or yarn or anything that I want, or fleece that I wanted to dry, I could put it in lingerie bags, I could put it in the machine and spin out all the water. I no longer have that. I have my front loader, which I've had issues with putting knits in there, so, but I had purchased at a garage sale, I got a salad spinner, and so for small projects, or if I'm dyeing just like a few skeins of yarn or something, or, you know, washing a few skeins of yarn, I can put it in the salad spinner and spin it out the water that way, which I really like, and it's a cheap, easy way to do it. However, I have been eyeing those spin dryers, those little freestanding, like, they range in price from like $70 to about $150 to like the super fancy ones that are like $300. And they're a standalone, super fast spinner. I mean, because the thing with a salad spinner, like, you can take some of the water out, but, you know, after a while, you're like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, I find with mine is that, you know, a wet wad of wool in there, once you start spinning it, it'll kind of, you know, it'll flop to one side, and then the whole thing will go like, ka-thunk, 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 and then you have to stop, and then you have to go the other way, and then it'll flop to the other side, and ka-thunk, ka-thunk. So you can't do that much, but these little standalone spinners spin things practically dry, and they're recommended. I mean, they were designed originally for people who don't have a clothing dryer, or you can use them in conjunction with a dryer, and it saves a lot of energy, and it saves a lot of money because you're putting the clothes, they're practically dry, and then you just put them in the dryer for the last little bit. And there's ones that can hold, like, a single pair of jeans and ones that can hold, like, several pairs of jeans. Mm. And so I'm thinking about getting one of those because in this climate, you wash a sweater and even if you spin it out a little bit and roll it in a towel and stand on it and then you lay it out, it still takes days to dry. And then yeah. my kids are always walking around like, why does it smell? It smells horrible in here. Like, it's just the wet sweaters, but... So I'm thinking about getting one. And plus, I might even just use it for my regular laundry to kind of, you know, dry it more before putting it in the dryer. Because mm-hmm. it runs just for a couple of minutes, and it has a little drain, like you put it by your sink and let it drain, and it kind of extracts all the water out. And
cool.
Anyway, so...
Didn't know about that.
That is my tip for the day.
Solid Ta-da. Spinner or more expensive standalone yes. spinner?
That's my tip.
There you go.
So what you've been reading? Okay.
I finished House of Mirth, which I don't remember. I think I was almost done with it.
Yeah.
Before. Downer. And before that, I read Anna Karenina, also a downer. So I wanted something, like, super cheesy and, yeah, I made a bad choice.
Yeah? What is it?
I don't even remember the title, but it was, like, a medical thriller / vampire book. And it was really? So incredibly bad. And I should have read the front, because... there was, like, a glowing recommendation from Stephen King, who mm-hmm. I don't like.
Okay.
I should have just known. But, you know, I finished it, and I was like, wow, that was a piece of crap.
Oh.
And I started reading this book, The Man Who Was Thursday, A Nightmare, by G.K. Chesterton, who was, he died in 1937. Huh. And the recommendation on this one is by C.S. Lewis. Awesome. I'm about halfway done. So it's really interesting. I think I'll talk more about it in our next one.
Okay.
When I'm actually done with it.
So I have actually been reading. So I'm like a whopping like 30 pages into the Yiddish Policeman's Union, which I'm liking, but I just haven't been making time. But I also just sort of, I had that sort of library accident where everything came all at once. And so I had put John Krakauer's Under the Banner of Heaven on my hold list like a billion years ago, and it showed up, and I just sort of started reading it the other day because, mostly because the copy from the library has been read so much that I can, like, open it and the pages stay open so I can knit while I read it, which I can't do in the other book. And it's a real, I mean, like all of his books, it's a real page turner, and it is about, a murder in Utah or in Arizona, but it's about some fundamentalist Mormon group, like the FLDS, fundamentalist Mormon groups like the Warren Jeffs group, and it's a lot of background on on LDS, like traditional Mormon church, and go away truck. So the Mormon church, but then also now these like splinter, like fundamentalist polygamous sex, and anyway, but so it's really interesting, and it's something that I really can say I know very little about other than like watching Big Love, and all the news that, you know, all the things that have been in the news more recently about Warren Jeffs, and so it's interesting so far. It's a lot of background about a region and a religion and things that I don't really know anything about, so that's been pretty interesting to read. But I'm like 30 pages into that too. So like, woohoo, yay me! 60 pages of reading, woo.
So I know you watched a movie.
I watched three theater since the last time we've talked.
Why don't you start on the one you were talking about last night? Because get it out of your system.
Okay, well, I'll work up to it. So I took the kids to see Madagascar 2 last weekend, and if you've been to see the first Madagascar film and you thought it was okay, you'll think this one was okay too. It was nothing brilliant, but it was kind of cute, and the kids really enjoyed it. This weekend, we got to see a sneak preview of Bolt, which is a new Disney animation. It's CGI, and I wasn't expecting much from it, but it was actually really good. We all, I mean, Wes and the kids and I all thought it was great, and then as bonus, one of our friends actually was the effects supervisor on it, so we were really excited for him that you know, he made a really good film. Instead of like, yeah, hey, your film was good. But anyway, it's very cute. It's about a dog who who's the star of a TV show, but he believes that he's actually like a super dog.
Okay, I've seen a preview for that.
And he escapes, so it's kind of like the Truman Show, but with dogs, and a little bit of Toy Story 2 in there also, or Toy Story in there too. But it was really well done. It was very entertaining. The kids just loved it. We thought it was very funny, so great job. Then Wes and I went, Sunday night, to see Schenectady, New York, which you might not recognize the title from because it's spelled...
really weird.
Like, it's spelled S-Y-N-E-C-D-O-C-H-E, which is only the first of many alienating features about this film. It's a new film by Charlie Kaufman, who wrote and directed it, and we were so looking forward to seeing this film. I mean, I've loved everything I've seen by Charlie Kaufman that he's written, and it has this amazing cast, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Diane Wiest and Samantha Morton and Emily Watson and...
Catherine Keener
and Tom Noonan and, I mean, Michelle Williams, and it's this great cast that just goes on and on and on. I hated the movie. Like, I hated it. And it was only 2 hours long, and I would have sworn to you it was like 3.5 hours long. It felt so long. And I feel like it was alienating and intentionally obtuse and quite literally endlessly self-referential. It was like watching... it's about a playwright and a director who is, you know, pretty much a surrogate for Charlie Kaufman, but in this sort of surreal Kaufman-esque setting, which I kept wanting to say Kafka-esque, but I feel like maybe I need to read more Kafka before I can use that label. But where it's sort of like this endless reflection. It's like looking at reflections in mirrors, where it just kind of keeps endlessly reflecting back on itself. And I just felt ultimately it was kind of meaningless, upsetting, depressing, and it was just really funny because the audience, you know, his other work has been really entertaining,
yeah,
but not necessarily, you know, only funny. But this work, I felt like the audience was grasping for anything to, like, even chuckle at because it was so joyless. I don't think Charlie Kaufman, I mean, Wes and I debated this endlessly last night. I don't think Charlie Kaufman thinks he made a film that was joyless and devoid of humor. But I think for the audience,
everybody,
it was joyless and devoid of humor. For me, at least. There was someone else at Pearly Girls last night who had seen it, who didn't have, you know, who thought it was pretty good. But on the other hand, she felt like she watched it and it was done and then she didn't really think about it again. Whereas you've been
ruminating on how much you hate it.
I have. I was really disappointed by it. I felt like, as an audience member, like, it kind of said to you, like, I am so bizarre and obtuse that you couldn't possibly understand me. Ooh. But there wasn't really much there to understand, so I felt like it was kind of a trick, almost, like, to make me feel like I was just waiting for something to get my arms around, and it never came, so I was very disappointed.
That's a good summary of the rant you did last night.
Yeah, that's a much shorter version. Erin was ready to, like, do some serious editing, like, 10 minutes later, Jessica's still carrying on about the movie. Okay, go.
Okay. I watched a couple good documentaries, and a good movie. So, when the documentaries I watched was called Keep the River on Your Right, about Tobias Schneebaum, who wrote the book Keep the River on Your Right, about his time living with these indigenous people who are headhunters, and his life with them. I think it's called the Osmot tribe of New Guinea. And then another people in Peru where he actually partook of a headhunting thing. Like, he says he didn't know, but, you know, we don't really know, and he ate a piece of human. So,
yummy.
It's really interesting, and it's him, I think he's in his late 70s or early 80s in this, but, you know, they have a bunch of clips of his Super 8 stuff from when he was first in these tribes and visiting them, and the director kind of talking him into, like, going back to Peru.
Yeah.
And kind of, he runs into these people who remember him. It's kind of amazing. Wow. So that was really good. And I got that from the library. So I recommend that. And I want to read the book now.
What's the other documentary? So,
Paris is Burning.
Oh, yay!
From, like, 1990 or 94. About drag queens in New York and voguing and all that fun reading and all that fun stuff.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, it was good. Noah had band practice on Friday, so I was, like, stayed up and knit and watched Drag Queens.
It's funny. I think it's, like, when that movie came out, it was, like, this view into this completely other world that was kind of, like, wow, like crazy and shocking and fascinating. But I think as crazy, I mean, drag queens, I think it's much more mainstream now.
Yeah,
you know, it I totally mean, like is. You know, like that we joked about it. I think on like the one of the first podcasts that like RuPaul has like a television like reality game show about drag queens, or the fact that there's like a transsexual on America's Next Top Model. Yeah. Or, you know, that I think that well, like, all of those things are a lot more mainstream. It's not, like, shocking, like, but no, at the time it was...
But it was really interesting, and I didn't really know about the whole ball scene.
Yeah.
So that was cool, and all the different houses, which, speaking of America's Next Top Model, what's his name? Benny Ninja from House of Ninja, which the father of that house at the time, or mother of the house at the time of the documentary was Willie Ninja. So, Benny Ninja, I'm assuming he belongs to that same house, is one of their instructors on America's Next Top Model. Oh, he comes and teaches them, like, extreme posing and stuff.
Huh.
Which was a good tie-in right there.
There you go, yeah.
Oh, and then I saw this in the theater, but I went with my friend Carl, and Noah didn't see it. So, I got it from the library. Darjeeling Limited.
Ah.
The newest Wes Anderson movie. Still good the second... I think I watched it twice, actually. Still good the second and third times. And Noah said, this makes me want to travel India.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Yeah, and then he said, I think it's my favorite of the Wes Anderson movies.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit at work. I don't agree with it being my favorite of the Wes Anderson films.
It's not my favorite either.
I feel like I'm getting, like, diminishing returns on Wes Anderson. Like, loved Rushmore. Really liked Royal Tenenbaums. Liked Life Aquatic. Liked Darjeeling Limited. Like, he's got to turn around with this next one and do something, I don't know, something else to win me back.
I want to marry whoever does the costumes and the sets.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Well, they, like, did you watch any of the making of it on the DVD?
Because
they were on a moving train.
Yeah, which was amazing to me.
Because at first the set designer thought, like, we're going to create this train set and it's going to be a set.
It's all filmed on a train. And like they had a train. I-beam thing on the ceiling so they could roll the camera without it rocking.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy, like, what they did to make the film.
And they had traditional artisans come and, like, paint everything and do all the little elephants and everything. And I love Angelica Houston.
I love
Angelica
Houston, too.
Which has a really small part in that.
Yeah, I felt her part was... she was more of a plot device, I thought, than a character. That, you know, she's there to sort of explain why the boys have become the men they are, you know? A little bit, like, when she does the whole thing about what they're going to eat for breakfast, and it's the same thing that the Owen Wilson character has been doing through the
whole
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like everyone. I mean, I have nothing but, like, warm feelings for everyone. Like, I like Owen Wilson. I like seeing him, Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah. I actually really liked Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like him. He's a really interesting actor.
But they all have, like, really cool, quirky things about them. Yeah. And I loved the short film before,
too. I liked that most of all, the Hotel Chevalier. And it had a good payoff then when you're later in the film, when you realize what his manuscript, what the Jason Schwartzman's character's manuscript is about.
I personally liked all the use of, like, Indian narcotics. Because they each have, like, different things that they take, like... Adrian Brody takes, like, cold medicine that he got at the pharmacy next to the station.
Oh, right.
And then Owen Wilson's taking some, like, opiate for his face.
Yeah.
And then, what's the other guy's name?
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, he's taking some other narcotic, and then they all just, like, pass him around.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a constant through the whole movie where even towards the end they're having tea at the final train station, and Owen Wilson gets, like, a bottle of Jack and is, like, dosing their tea. Which tea and Jack just does not sound good to me.
Actually, that's really funny. I Wes and I went out to dinner on Sunday night, and he ordered some cocktail, and I normally don't drink. But I'm like, oh, what'd you get? And I just took a sip of it, and I was like, oh my god, there's bourbon in that, isn't there? And he's like, yeah, there is. And I'm like, I can't do bourbon. I can't do whiskey. I can't do bourbon. Because one of the things when I was a kid, my father's dead, so I can say this. We used to go fishing on Nantucket at, like, you know, like 4 a.m. in, like, the fall or the winter. So it's, like, cold, it's raining, the wind is howling, and you'd get in all your layers, put waders on, and, like, walk into the Atlantic Ocean up to your waist and, like, surf cast, which... So it's cold, so he used to bring... And my dad was a tea drinker, not a coffee drinker, so we used to bring a thermos bottle of tea with Jack Daniels in it to warm up after fishing. And this is, like, I was like 12 or something, you know, like, but so I always liked Jack Daniels, and then I had experience in college where I can no longer drink Jack Daniels. So then I tried Southern Comfort, and I had an experience in college, so now I can no longer drink Southern Comfort, and like anything in that whole whiskey bourbon family, I can no longer drink.
Yeah.
So that one sip of Wes's cocktail at Sunday night was like, flashback, bad memories,
Yeah, no, mine's Jägermeister.
Yeah, everyone has one. I mean, you know, it's always, it's really funny, because, you know, you'll say, oh, do you want to, and people are like, oh, I can't drink peach schnapps, or whatever it is. Like, everyone has, like, their one alcohol they can't have. For me, it's like a spectrum of alcohols, but I don't drink anymore either, so it doesn't matter.
My friend Wes took me up to Neighbors, which is a gay bar on Capitol Hill, for an 80s night, which is a Thursday. And I had hardly had anything to eat that day.
Not while you were pregnant, let's say.
No, no. This was when I first moved to Seattle. And I hadn't really gone out much. You know, I was still kind of orienting myself in the city. And just Wes bought me shot after shot of Jaeger. And it was just bad all around. Like, I woke up in the shower in my apartment, like, partially unclothed. And the water had turned cold, and
I'm
that's
so
what
glad we're recording this so Audrey can hear about it later. this was mommy's first blackout.
It was the worst hangover of my life. And to punish myself for being so stupid and not eating, I went to work the next day.
Oh, yikes. No, I can't. Oh, Jägermeister. Oh, I can't drink anything. Or, I mean, I just don't like the taste of anise. So
me
any
either.
So any it's anise licorice, food like, I don't like,
or
but any
Uzo,
of those anise set liquors,
yeah.
Sambuca, Uzo, Jägermeister, Marie Brizard, like all of it, like I can't do that.
Yeah, I don't do those anymore.
No, either. I don't like that flavor at all. Everyone has a story like that, though. I'm sure. Yeah, anyway, I'm sure everyone is at home nodding, like thinking whatever.
I know for lots of my friends, it's tequila.
Yeah, so. I mean, everyone's got something though. But I always think it's really funny when it's something really like, really silly, like, you know, Grand Marnier or like, you know, some sort of weird liqueur, like oh, I can't drink Creme de Menthe or whatever.
You know, because, from reading
you know, their like went crazy parents. On grasshoppers or something.
It's because they raided their parents' liquor cabinet and they only drink that.
Wes was saying, like, I don't know what rye tastes like. And then he's like, but I don't want to buy a whole bottle. And so we were saying, you know, you need to have your parents' liquor cabinet to sample everything from.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I'm right here.
Come on back.
Okay, so to end, because we're running kind of long today.
We are.
I wanted to say a special thank you to some people from the knitting group who surprised me last Thursday. I was not mad. I just don't like being out of the loop. And it was a surprise. A bunch of people at our knitting group got together and knit me an awesome baby blanket that's like strips of, what's it, Blue Sky Alpaca organic cotton, the dyed stuff. And all their crazy gauges.
Yes.
And sewed it up for me as a surprise and then took me off to dinner. So thank you to Sharon, Rebecca, Molly, Mel, Jen, Meg, Jean, Sasha, Katie, Sarah, Annie, Jessica, and especially Amanda, who organized the whole thing.
She did. She organized the whole thing and she assembled the blankets. So we all just knit our strips and she collected them and she put the whole thing together.
Super nice. And Noah was like, your friends are awesome.
We are.
So, thanks, guys. You're awesome.
Yay.
So we're going to figure out what is going on with maternity leave.
Everyone was angling at Perla Girls last night, like, you should have guests. You know, Aaron's going to be on maternity leave. You need guests. Like, let me do the show. So I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
It's kind of a trick because Aaron does all the editing. So, you know, I can record new episodes, but I might not edit them very well. So I don't know, and I don't put cool music. Erin is in charge of the music. She's our music guru.
That's
so
me.
If I were doing it, it would be like all White Stripes. So. Sorry,
White Stripes and Weezer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's it for this episode. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Bye bye. Tired of the stress, I'm getting on a train. Train ride, well, I'm getting out of town. Do you wanna come with me? Do you wanna come with me? Here we go! We're gonna leave town. We're gonna leave town. We're gonna fall down.
dancing without touching.
This is so ridiculous!